From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, ever too sweeting. Someone will get that joke if they're watching the live video. Forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my producer, my brother, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey there, Bob. Yes, Monday edition. If you're listening to this live, of course, on the radio or watching on the Jet TV there. But yes, live edition of Bob After Dark on Monday. What a treat, though. What a treat to have Bob on a Monday. Sometimes Monday, you really need a big pick-me-up, and this is it, Bob.
Do you have a case of the Mondays?
Like Garfield? I have a case of the Mondays.
I feel like I have a case of the Mondays every day some days, especially in the time and age we live in.
Sometimes every day feels like Monday, but that's why you have stuff like this, Bob, to help move it along. So I'm sure the crowd is very happy to get some Monday Bob action after being off for a week too.
Yeah, we took a week off last week. By the way, folks, if you're listening or watching Bob After Dark for your first time, this is your weekly show where we talk about legends, lore, and supernatural things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and sometimes Count Panic's favorite grilled cheese recipe.
You're right. You know, nowadays, Bob, people are getting creative. They have multiple cheeses on one sandwich. So
it's a good insane time. These days. Let me tell you, listen, so Bob After Dark is officially on TikTok, right? And I am fully immersed in the TikTok world. I used to make fun of the app. And now that Bob After Dark's a part of it, it's a great way for me to interact with the children of the night outside of the show, and I get to be a little bit more creative, right? You know, people are like, oh, it's a very creative job doing the show. It is, and it's business at the same time. You know, I gotta make sure I'm watching what I say, and we gotta produce the show and research editing. You gotta come up with quips. But outside of that, it's really fun to just kind of unwind and enjoy a couple TikToks. And
yes.
The TikTok world has all kinds of recipes for everything you could possibly imagine.
I did not know that. Who knew TikTok could be so, I thought it was for the kids, Bob.
Yeah, I thought so too, but, you know, there's a whole paranormal sub-community in the TikTok world that's very fascinating. And I've been, you know, well hanging out with them, and they're enjoying the content as much as I'm enjoying the content as well.
There you have it, Bob. I'm now in a mood for a grilled cheese sandwich.
Now, folks, if you were listening live and you missed the old chat function from when we used to do the other video live show, you can still chat with us live for free at JedTV.com. You just make the account, and you could scroll on down and chime in and chat, and there's no charge to chat.
Let me try this here. So you're saying if I go to JedTV.com.
JedTV.com.
And right underneath this video.
There's a chat box.
There's a chat box right there.
You can join in the chat box and enjoy chatting with
and
us.
Look at everybody's here
yeah,
already.
I feel like we're missing some of the older fans that watched religiously every week.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they know that you could still chat with us live when we're doing the live show. So there, you just got to go to a different website. That's
Heather,
all.
Elliot, Rye, there's more folks joining in right now as we speak. So
absolutely.
I'm glad to have them here.
Absolutely. So it's nice to see the Bob After Dark chat room is still going on and kicking around. And
yes.
Of course, the Bob After Dark Facebook group is doing well, too, the Children of the Night, so you guys can join in and chat with us anytime you'd like.
So you're telling me if I go to Facebook.com and type in Children of the Night, there's a Facebook group.
There's a Facebook group specifically meant for you, the fans, to interact with me and Count Panic when it's not show day.
Very cool.
Yes. Now, Count Panic, I haven't seen you in a week.
I know.
So what's been going on? Let's get the double weekend update.
Well, it's tough to remember what you did the past weekend, let alone the weekend before that, but this past weekend was a good one, had a nice restful weekend on Sunday. And then, you know, I'm an old vampire. I've been around for ages and centuries, but, you know, sometimes I like the time travel, and I got a chance to do that this past weekend on Sunday. Here in the region, here outside of the Chicagoland area, Northwest Indiana, if you want to be exact, we have a place called Hobart, Indiana.
And they I'm very familiar with Hobart, Indiana.
For the people out there, maybe you'll listen, that are not familiar, but they got old-time baseball that they play out there. The Deep River Grinders. I went out there to film some of that, and that'll be out soon for my other thing. But the Deep River Grinders.
Old-time baseball?
Old-time baseball,
what's the difference between baseball and old-time baseball?
Well, this is 1858 baseball, Bob. 1858.
So you're telling me it's baseball played by ghosts. So you did a paranormal investigation without me. You're going to see ghosts play baseball.
Kind of close.
And you didn't invite me.
More so reenactors pretending to
be ghosts. I truly heart believe that you went and saw some ghosts play baseball. Ghosts. You can't change my mind.
Ghost baseball, that would be entertaining to watch as well. But they do old-time rules and regulations and everything.
If I was more well-versed in the world of sports, I would definitely, because there are some really good ghost stories involving with sports. I am not a sports ball person. I don't understand it, so maybe I'm not the person to do it. Maybe we'll get a guest on that's more sports-oriented, and we could talk about some of the...
That could be a great episode, sports ghosts.
There are some ghostly sports tales. Yes. I know Babe Ruth still haunts... what's the field Babe Ruth's
New York.
Are the Dodgers still in Brooklyn?
Yeah, last time I checked, yes. The Brooklyn Dodgers. Well, wait, you know what? Did they move?
I don't know. You're stick me account
the Brooklyn
panic.
Dodgers. The Brooklyn Dodgers.
So, real quick, folks, my update is, I worked on the show last week still. Yeah. So there was a podcast exclusive episode this past week. We talked a little bit about an online haunted horror community called the SCP Foundation.
Yes.
And you can check that episode exclusively in podcast land. I was co-hosted by two great academics, which was very strange to have people talking more than I did about a subject. Usually it's me and you, and I talk to you, and then I look at you through the glass, and I'm like, talk a little bit more, Count Panic. Talk if you can. And it was interesting because they're just da-da-da. And I'm like, hey, thanks, Josh and Sarge. I really appreciate that because normally I'm the talkative one. So it was nice to have somebody chime in.
They had a lot of questions maybe.
No, they actually knew more than I did.
They knew more than you
had. Yeah, it was impressive. Then. So if you guys are watching live and you're trying to figure out what happened last week, we didn't have a live show, but the podcast episode is up currently wherever you listen to podcasts at. And then outside of that realm, I didn't really do a whole lot. I've been, I saw Black Widow. That's about it. We're not a movie show, so I won't talk too much about it. I like the movie. That's about it. And then just been working on the paranormal TikTok stuff and working on updating my, organizing my library a little bit and stuff like that. So it's been an interesting world.
Library?
Yeah, like, well, the Bob After Dark book collection.
Well, for the museum.
Someday, the Bob After Dark Paranormal Museum, we got to figure out a location for that because it can't just be like in a major city. It's got to be someplace local where people will want to travel to that town to make it work.
Well, you know, I say
I feel like I would have to. I feel like Whiting would be like the clear-cut choice because that's my hometown.
Yeah.
You know, they built the Mascot Hall of Fame, so they might as well build the Bob After Dark
Right next to it. You got the Mascot Hall of Fame. And the Bob After Dark Museum. That'd
the Bob After Dark
tourism.
Paranormal yeah, Museum. I mean, I might have a little competition with a certain someone.
Of course, yes.
But we'll...
Either that or Wisconsin, Bob.
You know, Wisconsin, like downtown Kenosha or Racine or something, or Milwaukee even. Yeah. Like the Bob After Dark Paranormal Museum.
That, Wisconsin,
We're big in Wisconsin.
Yeah, big in Wisconsin.
We're big in Wisconsin. Listen, if the Marsh Cheese Castle would attach the Bob After Dark Haunted Museum
Now that's good thinking, Bob. I like that.
There we go. Hey, Marsh Cheese Castle, if you're listening, one, you owe us a sponsorship, and two, you guys can skip the sponsorship and just attach the Bob After Dark Paranormal Museum to it.
Well, that's great, because if you go to the museum afterwards, you're going to work up an appetite, so why not get dropped off right into the cheese curd capital of the Wisconsin, the Marsh Cheese Castle. Yeah. Fantastic idea, Bob.
So yeah, we got some options. We're looking into it now. You guys can donate all of your haunted dolls to a place that's not me for a change.
Yes.
And they'll go up on display at the Bob After Dark Museum. There, you know, we need to get in touch, and I promise we'll move on past this. We need to get some bronze statues of me and you, like, in the foyer when you first walk in.
Like Mickey Mouse and Walt Disney.
That's exactly it.
Just waving to the people.
Just waving to people. Like, oh, this Bob and Count
with
Panic.
A quote from you at the bottom of it.
Oh, hey there. Yeah. Oh, my God. All right. So if this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, how the show works is we split the show up into two sections. One is we have the weird spooky news of the week, and then we dive into the lore of the week. The spooky news is where we start the show off with, and that's where we have the we talk about news articles that I find online, that you all find online, and you share with me, and I'm able to share them with the masses. These news articles could be anything like haunted news breaking it to major media, weird cryptid sightings, or advances in science fiction or science that almost borderline on science fiction. I've been making that line now for almost 2 years, and I'm very bad at keeping that line straight. I still screw it up to this day, but advances in science that borderline on science fiction and just general weirdness.
It can be tricky the way you say it like that.
It is. And then the we also talk a little bit about the lore of the week, which is where we pick the major topic. That's the bread and if the news is the bread and butter, this is the macaroni and cheese and broccoli of the episode.
Bread and butter and macaroni and cheese.
Well, normally I'd say steak and potatoes, but I'm a vegetarian, so I guess you'd eat the steak and I'd eat the potatoes.
I guess so. Yeah. I guess so. We could work it out like that, too.
Absolutely. Well, anyway, the lore of the week, that's the bulk of it. And this week, we're going to be talking a little bit about the weird happenings in the Great Lakes.
So you're talking about the Great Lakes throughout our great nation.
I'm talking like the ones, like the one that's literally right there, Lake Michigan.
Lake Michigan.
We'll start there and we work our way around a little bit.
I got to say, I hear a lot about the other lakes, but Lake Michigan, I guess being so close to and being raised right by it, I think it's the greatest of our lakes.
Absolutely. We got some native stories out of there, a couple of monsters, because we haven't talked about a good monster story in a while. And then we also have some ghost ships.
Yeah. Yeah, that's who
Sam, we're going to be talking about that. Yeah. So you ready to dive right into the news of the week, Count Panic?
Let's hear it.
All right. And before I begin, folks, two things, three things, four things. Thing the first, follow Bob After Dark on social media, wherever you follow on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Twitter's really under construction. You need to get that back up. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, all at Bob After Dark. So like us on there. You could email us, bob@bobafterdark.com.
There you have.
And then if you're listening to Podcast Land and you want to call us during our live show, you can do that. Or if you're listening to the live show, you could just chime in. Our phone number is
219-845-1100.
Yes. I was hoping you would bounce that back.
219-845-1100. And don't forget, always follow us on social media to let we'll let you know if a show has been scheduled, rescheduled for a different day.
Absolutely.
Usually on Tuesdays at 9 p.m., but sometimes like tonight.
We're on a Monday. It's weird. I'm here on a Monday.
We have to make a jump.
All right, let's dive right in. And our first story comes to us from myself and Coast to Coast AM, our old pal Tim Binal.
Oh, he's a great guy.
Listen, I need to reach out to Tim and be like, Tim, thank you for writing these articles because you are a 10 out of 10. And it's funny because I picked like a really short article this week from Tim. The rest is actually, you know, longer things. And I should use the big story from the past week that I didn't get a chance to share yet. I want to start off with some wholesome content that's absolutely terrifying at the same time.
All right.
So in Japan's in Tokyo, right? Tokyo's Shinjuku district. There is a giant 1,666 square foot curved LED screen that's augmented reality. And it's displaying a gigantic cat that hangs out above a crowd over a busy railroad station. It's a part of an experiment in digital signage, and the scale of the feline is startling. And they're saying that the pet is worthy of the cat could be worthy of being a Godzilla sized cat. And I'll share the video on the Children of the Night page. You guys could check it out. But it's really interesting how far like we've come in technology, and we're almost at like that Blade Runner 2049 stuff where like you have the giant like things that like come out and talk to you that are augmented reality. And the way this cat's perched on the screen and the way they have it displayed with the augment is this cat's paw almost reaches down towards the people like that are in this, you know, busy subway area. And that is one absolutely horrifying, horrifying advertising, right? Can you imagine like putting something like that up in like, let's say Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and you have like this giant Mothman that could like fly in and like swoop down towards the crowds or any other place that might have like a paranormal happening. It's like, check this out, you know?
So for the people watching on the Jet TV there, that's it right there.
Yes.
That's the cat.
That's the cat. And there's a whole video of it, like I said, pawing down into the street almost. And it's very fascinating. And it's not necessarily spooky, but it is definitely some weird advances in science because this thing is three-dimensional. I mean, this thing moves around.
Yeah.
Outside of the realm of like standard, you know, video billboard or something, this thing's fully augmented.
It never jumps out into the street, though.
No, it does not, because it's got to be contained, obviously, in the screen. And it's just fascinating the way they have this thing designed now. And it's even stranger how we're moving away from like moving into where digital technology and graphics and stuff is getting like close to being something spookily very close to humanity. And eventually we're not even going to need humans. We could just hang out and be augmented with each other all day, every day, which is a good thing or a bad thing. What do you think? Hashtag panic steak.
I think it could be a mixture of both there, Bob, but I want to know, this is my question. This cat, how close do you think it is? The people that put this cat together there, the creators behind this cat, how much do you think it was based off of our friend, the Yule Cat?
It's not. So this is, I'm not well versed in
cat.
I'm not well versed in cat breeds, and I'm sure somebody's going to scream at me, but it's an orange and black spotted cat.
Okay.
So I don't know what it is, but it's definitely that. A Yule Cat is a giant black cat.
Okay.
But hear me out. Maybe I'll reach out to these, the designers and be like, can you guys do like a Yule Cat? Like just a giant.
Why not for Christmas?
Just eating people in the sign.
That's the thing with cats too. I know there's different breeds of cats. Cat people know everything, but. You know, when I see a dog, I'm like, oh, that's a beagle. That's a Labrador. When I see a cat, that's a black cat. That's an orange cat.
I'm the same way.
They all draw pretty much the same to me, I guess. I don't know. Some cats are fancier than others, I guess. But that's pretty cool, though. I'd be terrified, but I would be amazed by that at the same time.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, let's move on. I'm going to save the big news for last.
Okay.
So this next story comes to us from Oddity Central, which I haven't gotten a news article from them in a hot minute, but this one's a very fascinating story. As we move from technology that's advertising to technology that is borderline absolutely terrifying and something that could keep you up at night. An ultra-realistic underwater drone modeled after the Orawawa fish, Wana fish, has been getting a lot of attention online after making its debut at a military expo earlier this month. This year's Beijing Military Expo opened on June 5th, but it wasn't the tanks, missiles, or other potentially lethal military equipment that drew reporters' attention. It was a rather strange arowana fish swimming in a large water tank installed on the site. At first glance, it was just a fish that seemed to swim and behave normally. It would swim around normally and raise its head for a while whenever it reached a wall, and then just wing its tail again and swim in another direction. At first glance, its appearance and movements were those of an actual fish. It was only on close inspection that one realized that it was an advanced fish-like robot. Developed by the Chinese company Boya Gondo, the bionic Arowana is based on the appearance and the fluid motions of an actual fish. It features a variety of sensors and global visionary control technology that has a battery autonomy about between 6 to 8 hours. The makers of this incredibly realistic robot fish believe it could be the most useful in education and scientific research, as well as marine biology research, but one cannot ignore its potential in espionage surveillance, especially, you know, talking about these AI things lately. And we're not going to dive into that because that's more conspiracy based, not a conspiracy show. Sorry, folks. No. But the impressive device created by Boya Gangdawo is reminiscent of another cool project that was featured once a little bit ago. And that was a robot Swift developed by German automation company Festo. But if you guys get a chance to see the video, and once again, we'll share it to the Children of the Night page, this fish moves like a fish. It looks like a fish, and it acts, can you guess it?
Like a fish?
Like a fish. So, you know, you hear things a lot, and this is an old saying, if it looks like something, it walks like something, it acts like something, mm-hmm. It is that something. Well, in this case, this fish is not a fish. It's a fully robotic, aquatic creature, right? And that is horrifying. Now, you take the espionage thing aside because we're not going to talk about that, but it's the fact that we're creating, I would argue, fully artificial intelligence. We're getting closer to that, like fully, and I mean artificial intelligence exists now, but something like this, and yeah, it's remote controlled, but can you get to a point where that thing is not going to be remote controlled anymore, and it's just going to be able to swim on its own and interact with other fish? Will the other fish be able to tell that it's not one of its own kind? And that is an odd question. Again, it goes back to the argument of is technology growing to such a rate where we're kind of playing, lack of a better term, God in a way, where we're creating these robotic things. And I could understand that there's research purposes behind it, and I could understand that it could be used for some good, especially if it's, you know, able to do these types of things. But I don't know, man. There's something about creating artificial organic life that's just very strange to me. And, you know, it kind of goes back into this whole, like, you know, some of the, even the medical advancement stuff. It's just, it's really weird because you're, you know, kind of messing with, like, creation, I guess. And it's bizarre. And I'm interested to hear the hashtag panics take on this.
That's interesting because just a couple weeks ago, Bob, you talked about a story that I still think about to this day. Birds. And birds, are they really real? And I looked it up more so after you explained it to the crowd.
We need to get that the bird people on the show.
I know. And I joined their Facebook page.
Okay, well, can we get the bird people on the show, please?
I joined their Facebook page, so I'm becoming one of them now. I'm going undercover as one of these folks.
I don't think we have to go undercover. I think if we give them a place where they can talk freely, where we're not going to make fun of them, I think they'll just come on and talk to us.
I think so, too, but I feel like some of the damage has done already. But yes, I have been undercover at the Facebook page, so hopefully get some of those folks on there. But this is kind of similar to that, and I'm thinking now, is there going to be a new campaign throughout the U.S. called Are Fish Real? Because now we got to worry about stuff like this. So there's two different things going on here. There's fake fish in the sea, and there's fake birds in the sky. Who can you really trust? And this was brought up on the afternoon show by one of the producers, Zach, of the afternoon show. He had a good point, about, and this is for the birds. Have you ever seen a baby pigeon?
No.
No.
We're not a conspiracy show, folks.
I'm just saying. Have you ever seen a baby pigeon?
We're not a conspiracy show. I find it fascinating. It's fascinating. It's very fascinating. I'm a fan of interesting research, but we're not a conspiracy show.
I'm just saying. Have you ever seen one? Yes, this fish stuff kind of smells fishy to me. Seems like this bird story.
Also, thanks to our pal Vix, that cat breed has been identified as a calico cat. For the cat augmented reality sign.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So thanks, Vix, for telling us that cat breed.
Yes, thank you very much.
We have a caller.
You're fast on that.
Take
you want to take it live?
Take
you
it live,
because
it's John.
Well, we don't know for sure.
I'm going to take it. And listen, if you're not John, I'm sorry, but something's telling me you're John.
Indeed I am, Bob.
Oh, hey there, John Nakshimashpan.
Hey, Dubja.
What? That's pretty good. Dubja.
Yeah. What's going on tonight, John? What's on your mind?
Yeah, you did say that pretty good, Bob.
I try.
You're all ready for Pierogi Fest, I see, huh?
Oh.
Something like that. I just wanted to give you something in the mother tongue to wish you a hello and tell you I missed you.
Pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Hey, really, I loved it. Hey, since you're talking about cats and birds and baseball, how about goats?
Goats?
Are you familiar with that curse of the Cubs and the Billy Goat?
Oh, absolutely. That's may not be a sports ball person, but I do know about the curse of the goat.
Now, would you consider a curse of any kind being paranormal related?
Absolutely. So it's interesting when you bring up the word curse. There's different kinds, right? And there's, you know, your magic curses, and that's magic with a K. And then there's curses where I feel like people just will it to be without trying it. You know, you invest a lot of your energy onto something and it can come true, right? And that can go for you cursing someone to almost cursing yourself. Like when you walk into a room or you walk into your day job and you're like, today's going to be terrible. Today's going to be awful. And then guess what? You have an awful day without even experiencing it. That's you just kind of willing the energy to be. And, well, you created your own environment, and at the end of the day, you kind of cursed yourself. Does that make sense?
Oh, I think that's so true. And with that Billy Goat, Greek guy was the owner of Billy Goat's Tavern, which is still in existence there in Chicago. And he had his goat on the field in 1945 World Series, and he was bothering the people there, I guess. So they obviously kicked the goat out, and this guy named Sianis said that they would never win a World Series again. And then on his 46th death anniversary of his death in 2016, that's when the Cubs won a World Series after 71 years of being cursed by this guy. So it's a story. It's unusual, and I believe in it. You know, I mean, like you just said, it's you know, you could curse yourself. Starting off the day bad, and at the end of the day, you had a lousy day. So,
Absolutely.
But I thought I would like to throw that in and see what, you know, if that was in the realm of paranormal activity or, you know, complete different. But once again, Bob After Dark, answer my question.
Well, thanks, John, and I appreciate you calling in. You're, like I said, you're the unofficial third host of Bob After Dark, and I really enjoy having you around, John. You're a part of this family.
I appreciate you, Bob. You have a good night.
You too, John. Thanks for calling in. Okay. Now, folks, do you want to be like John and get your voice heard and answer a question, ask a question to get answered by me or Count Panic? You can call in 219-845-1100.
Fantastic. And you were practicing, I think, for your Pruggy Fest. I don't know if that was good Polish right there.
I try. Yeah. I know a bit. Wow. I know a bit.
Amazing.
You know, Bob Anderson Sr. taught me quite a bit over my life.
And, of course.
Some of the Polish terms are some of the things he taught me. And
it's life
that.
Lessons right there. Bob.
Absolutely. All right. So moving on from the fish aren't real to probably the most important story that people have been bombarding me with. This was not something I found, but people were sending this in. It's multiple sources, and it has been a major topic of discussion in the world of the paranormal, TikTok, the witch talk, the spiritualism talk, the whole thing, right? And that is talking about this gas leak in the Gulf of Mexico.
Gas leak in the Gulf.
This gas leak in the Gulf of Mexico. So I'm going to read this from BuzzFeed News because it was one of the big one, big like news articles that I could read. And this is written by Stephanie Baer. A fire broke out in the southern waters of the Gulf of Mexico Friday after an underwater pipeline leaked, sending the internet ablaze with horror as videos of flames spewing out of the ocean went viral. Mm. The Mexican state-owned petroleum company, Petroles Mexicanos.
Good.
That's P-E-T-R-O asterisk L-E-O-S M-E-X-I-C-A-N-O-S. I don't speak Spanish, folks. I tried my best. Also known as Pemex, said a gas leak was discovered in the 12-inch submarine pipeline near a platform in the Kumalub Zaib oil field. That's K-U-M-A-L-O-O-B-Z-A-A-P. Firefighter crews were working to snuff out the swirling, fiery mass of water by about 10:45 a.m., the company said. No injuries were reported. Angel Carrizas, executive director of Mexico's Oil Safety Regulatory Agency, ASEA, tweeted that the leak, quote, did not generate any spill, but did not exactly say what was on fire. The cause of the incident is still under investigation, but as usual, Twitter has their own ideas about what exactly is going on. And I'm going to use a term. It's not a bad word. It's a word you hear a lot, just giving you a heads up. And a lot of the internet and a lot of the people in the, you know, the communities that deal in the paranormal and supernatural and the occulty world believe this is some sort of portal to hell or just opening up a portal to another realm in general. And then the footage of the fire is so unreal that some wondered if it was almost fake, because it's literally, when I'm saying water was on fire in a circular pattern. It wasn't like, you know, you spill a little oil on something and you could light it and the water will catch fire, right? On the, like, the surface level, because the oil is burning, not the water. This thing was a full-on circle of mess of nastiness. And, you know, it's an interesting thing, and it's terrifying to know that that's an actual problem. You know, and obviously there's like an environmental concern about it. There's a lot of people saying, you know, and I'm not trying to turn it political or anything, but people are saying extracting fossil fuels from the seafloor is a bad idea. I'm not going there, but it's an interesting thing how such like, and this is a catastrophe at the end of the day, because that's disturbing the, you know, the bio area that the natural life of things that live in the Gulf of Mexico was obviously disturbed by it. And it's, I can't describe how horrifying it looks, other than you guys need to see the videos on this ring of fire in the Gulf of Mexico opening up, because it is something out of like Cthulian lore or like anything paranormal. And a lot of people are saying that this is definitely some sort of sign of bad things to come, or this is Mother Nature just pretty much saying stop what you're doing, or this is a sign of end of times to come. You know, it's an interesting story. And like I said, a lot of people, there's a lot of buzz about it online with the story being some sort of sign from something else, right? So hashtag panics take, end of the world or, you know, disturbance.
I'm going to see if I could get it right here, Bob. Again, if you're watching on Jet TV, you'd see it kind of happen right there as far as that goes. But you're showing this, and you're right, Bob. Look at that. It's a ring of fire.
It's a ring of fire in the water.
How's that possible?
Well,
what's the science behind this, Bob?
Well, you see, Count Panic, I'm a pseudo man of science myself here, and I'm going to be completely honest. Rational thought says that, right, you're going to spill things out, and if it's shooting up into a pattern, let's say a pipe burst or something, and it's shooting up, mm-hmm. that might be just the pattern it's going. But it's, I don't know.
It, terrifying. That, look at how it, terrifying. Look,
you're seeing, so is this your first time seeing
first
the video?
First time seeing that, yeah.
I don't know how else to describe it other than that is a horrific sight. Yeah. And like I said, it's just something to say. I don't know. So what do you think? World's ending? Because like I said, a lot of the spiritual folk, and this goes, you know, in a lot of different categories. I use that term very broadly in this case. The spiritual folk think this is the end. They're prepping for spiritual warfare. Like, yikes. Well, so what do you think, Cal Panic? What's the hashtag panic
state? Well, here's the thing, Bob. And it could be anything. You know, I think some of the spookiest things happen out there in the open water there, Bob. I mean, take all the things. If you just go even to Lake Michigan, which we'll talk about the lakes here in a second.
We're going to be talking about it here,
but
yeah, sure.
You go to Lake Michigan, just sit out there sometimes at night and look deep into it, and it's kind of eerie itself. This thing in this body of water is pretty eerie. The Bermuda Triangle, of course, things go have been missing for years from that. How can you explain something like that? So the ocean, the lakes, the bodies of water here throughout this great earth are nothing to be messed with and pretty eerie in their own right. I don't mean Lake Erie. I just mean everything is eerie in its own right. So, Bob, I don't know. I can't explain this. I'm not a scientist, but I'm definitely freaked out by it.
Do you think it's the end of times?
Bob, could very well be.
You know, and it's a very 2020 thing. Very relevant to last year. We're talking about the apocalypse bingo card or the cabin in the woods meme, where it's like, anybody have fill in the blank this week, right? 2021 definitely showed its weird head with this nasty portal opening up in the Gulf of Mexico.
Now, if something morphs from the portal, like a giant or something like that,
like
that's
Cthulhu or water serpent or
anything like that.
Then it's time. That's the point where me and you.
It's time.
Now you see, Count Panic. I hate to do this to you, but it's not time for me and you to run away from that portal.
Oh, no.
Me and you are going straight into it.
We're
by it. We need
diving.
Well, we're not going to dive in the water. Hey, let's not get too crazy. But me and you need to get footage of this.
All right, we're going.
This is important. We're going towards
it, but not
towards whatever's
the
coming
portal.
Out of that portal. Yeah. Me and you are going towards it.
What happens if you go inside a portal, Bob?
That's a good question. Now, there are a lot of folk that believe that they have, lack of a better term, dimension hopped in their life.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it just depends on what plane of existence is on the other side. Let's hope that whatever portal opens up is a friendly one filled with cotton candy and ice cream.
Yes.
I'm assuming that a portal on our end with a door of a ring of fire probably isn't going to have cotton candy and ice cream.
Yeah.
Something tells me there's probably not nice things lurking on the other side. Maybe I'm wrong.
That's like they say, if you see a random door in the woods,
oh my God,
don't go through it.
We'll talk a little bit about something soon that I've been seeing online, the staircases in the woods.
Yeah, what's that about?
We'll talk about it soon, right. I promise. But I don't know, man. But if something pops out of that portal, Count Panic, I hate to do that to you, but me and you got to go get footage.
All right.
We are people of reporting at the end of the day. Yes, we don't report on politics. We don't report some current events if it's related to the show. But we still have to report on something, and if there is a paranormal entity, a supernatural being, some sort of deity of the sea, if it's Poseidon coming out, you and I need to go get footage.
We are journalists.
We are journalists at the end of the day. We are paranormal journalists.
We went to school.
Not for journalists.
No, something like that.
Something like that, yeah. You and I have the same degree, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. If it's Poseidon coming out, whatever, you and I need to go do some work. I'm sorry. I hate to do that to you.
I'll do it.
I know you're like, apocalypse, it's time for a vacation. Nah.
No.
You don't get a vacation on Bob After Dark time. get working.
At least we'll go out with a blaze of glory.
Who said we're going out?
Oh, well, there's always
the point of
whenever you go towards danger, though, Bob, there's always a chance you might never make it out.
Well, we'll make it out.
All right. As long as you guarantee it.
I guarantee it. We'll be fine.
Can I get that in writing?
You think I'm going to let anything bad happen to you?
Bob, if it's a portal to hell, everybody,
I'm going to let anything bad happen
I think it's out of our control here. I think it's out of our control. But, Bob, thank you very much. Yes, we will do our journalistic duties to get that footage to you out there, the public.
Absolutely. Right. Now, Comp Panic, we're going to talk. We're going to wrap for a little bit before we take our quick break.
Going to wrap?
We're going to wrap real quick. And that's wrap with a, a W. I think that's the proper pronunciation.
I thought you were going to rap.
Yes, this is Bob After Dark, and bad. And stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, yo.
What are we going to wrap?
Not good at that. Yeah, okay, let's wrap. So, folks, something you all should be doing, and this is something I would like to persuade all of you to go and do. Mm-hmm. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, you should scroll on down where it's past, I'm looking at the screen right now, past it on episode 74, Below the Whispers of State. There is something here that says customer reviews. Mm-hmm. I would like to see more 5-star reviews from you, the fans. Because the more 5-star reviews you guys leave, the more I get thrown into algorithms and the faster we make more money on this to where it's full-time for me.
Sure.
So go on ahead, folks. If you're so inclined, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, 5 stars. And the cool thing about it is, if you leave a 5-star review for us, Comp Panic cheers you live on the show.
Like something like this, but there's nobody that cheers, so I'm not going to do it. Yeah.
The other thing is, folks, even if you don't listen to us on Apple, you can still go leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
I could do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to start bringing back, folks, is our inboxes and email is open. I want to hear your paranormal encounters. Email us, bob@bobafterdark.com. Slide into our DMs, Facebook, Instagram. All right. You're not really going to probably send me DMs on TikTok. But if you want to send me a DM on TikTok, that's fine, too. I want to hear about your paranormal encounters. Ghost stories, lights in the sky, did you see a cryptid? I want to hear about this. Because at the end of the day, I'm not the star of Bob After Dark, despite the name. You all are the stars of my show. I appreciate my Children of the Night very, very much. So send me in these stories. I want to hear them so we can share them live on the show. And you can remain anonymous.
That's the best part. Sometimes people have stories to tell, but they're worried, boy, I don't want my identity to be out there. You don't have to say their names, Bob.
You don't have to.
And the hotline is still a work in progress once again, right?
Well, the hotline's open. I'm going to publicize it a little bit more. It's up there. You guys can check that out.
Good old-fashioned hotline, Bob.
We have a hotline.
Yeah.
I don't know the number offhand. I'm a terrible host because I didn't think you were going to ask me about
it. No, we'll get it next time. Don't worry. But, yes, the hotline, too, as well. So a lot of places they get in touch with Bob here on Bob After Dark. That's the great thing. This is an interactive show at the end of the
Absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely. Yes. And I want to get more interaction with you, the Children of the Night. So submit these things to me. Tell me what you guys want us to talk about. That is important to me. That is important to Comp Panic. Mm-hmm. I want this show to be about you.
Yes.
If you want us to speak on a specific topic, reach out and tell us.
Yes.
Because it's fun picking topics, but it's even more funner. I don't think funner is the word. More fun. The funnest way of handling things is when you guys give me the topics. And it's like, yeah, absolutely. August is usually our viewer's choice month, so be prepared for that.
There you go.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
Now, Comp Panic, now that I'm off my soapbox, do you have anything you want to soapbox about real quick?
Is this a new segment?
No, the Comp Panic paranormal soapbox. I just wanted to dive in.
Nothing on top of my head, Bob, but if we're going to make this a weekly segment, I'll start thinking about it. The soapbox.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, Comp Panic, why don't we take a break?
Right here?
Right now.
All right.
All right, to our live fans, stick around. We'll be right back. And to our podcast fans, keep your ears peeled because you're about to be listening to a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
And we're back.
Hey.
Oh, hey there, Count.
How's it going, Bob?
Oh, you know, not too bad. What's on your mind?
You mean, what did I do?
Yeah, what'd you do during break?
During break? Well, Bob, I went to the lake.
You went to the lake?
Went to the lake to research about today's show.
What did you find out about the lake?
I found out many mysteries in that lake.
What kind of mysteries did you find, Count?
The mysteries of secrets, mysteries.
You know, Count Panic is now going to lead the show tonight. I'm going to sit back and let him tell you the lore of the week.
No, Bob. What I saw out there was no rings of fire to report on, which is good. Because I'm checking our local lakes as well, Lake Michigan. If I see a ring of fire break out here near us at Lake Michigan, I will let you guys know about it. I was there during the break. So far, so good, Bob. So we are in no grave danger just yet here in our part of America, part of the world.
That's good.
Yeah. How about you, Bob? What did you do?
You know, Count Panic, I've been working on a side project.
What did you work on?
I've been working on the Bob After Dark cookbook.
Okay.
And I created two new recipes during break.
What did you create?
The Count Panic cheesecake.
All right.
And the Count Panic mudslide drink.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
What's the recipes?
Well, you see, I would tell you, but you'd have to buy the Bob After Dark Paranormal Cookbook.
Is there really one on sale right now?
No.
That'd be fantastic.
You know, someday somebody's going to catch on that this that these bits after breaks are just bits. And now somebody's going to be like, hey, Bob, can you make the Bob After Dark Paranormal Cookbook? Because somebody's going to ask me to do that, and it's going to drive me nuts.
Yeah, no, for sure, as far as that goes.
I'm not much of a cook, guys. I'm an okay cook. I could do some main breakfast. I can handle my own, but I'm not the cooking type. Leave that to James over at the Dragon's Inn. He's a far superior cook than I am.
Yes, well, it's the thing. We don't have to actually cook the food, Bob. We just got to get the recipes from maybe listeners and viewers and put them all in one book. But they got to have it's got to be what? Does that have to be like a supernatural tint to it? Or can it be just plain old food?
I got to have some sort of spooky. Yeah, I guess. You can't just be like, here's the grilled cheese recipe for the Bob After Dark Paranormal Cookbook.
Like ghost pepper cheese.
Or it's got to be coffin shaped.
Yes. Okay.
You know, that's important. That's what we're looking for with the Bob After Dark Cookbook.
That's what makes it different. Makes it stand out from the other cookbooks.
You know, it's funny. Real quick, I'm going to do a quick bit here. I was recording the podcast exclusive episode the other day. We were getting it ready for, you know, release, and I was telling the guests, I'm like, hey, when we come back from break, we have these bits, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the guys were saying their things, and it got to me, and I said, I've been working on getting a high score at Excalibur Pinball.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's really cool. Come to find out, I made up a name for a pinball game, and apparently Excalibur Pinball was a big deal in the 80s, like a super big deal.
And now you kind of predicted the past, I guess.
Yes,
in that
I
way.
Did.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to throw that out there. Hey, Sergeant Josh, I appreciate you guys.
I'm still thinking about the Paranormal Cookbook, too.
You know, you were also bringing up the Paranormal Magazine the last time.
Oh, yeah, the zine. Yeah.
The Paranormal Zine. Listen. You were coming up with these ideas that are going to, A, get me in trouble, or B, it's going to eat up more time than what I have.
We got time. We got all the time.
Oh yeah,
in the world.
Yeah, sure. That sounds great.
We'll take out. We'll get some workers. We'll have a whole team putting the stuff together.
Listen, if I don't know the first thing about making a cookbook, I don't even think people buy cookbooks in 2021.
Ah, Bob, it's a novelty.
Yeah, right.
A novelty book. People. Will buy
I guess it. If you look up a recipe online, like at a recipe place, you have to read through paragraphs and paragraphs of text about somebody growing up on like a farm. And then the hot sauce they somehow made tortellini soup.
Yes.
I mean, people could do that, or I guess they could read the Paranormal Cookbook. And the only thing that comes to mind is like that pudding with like the worm, the gummy worms, and it's like the graveyard.
That could be one graveyard item in there, yeah.
The graveyard, whatever you call it, worms in the dirt.
Yeah.
Like pudding you get at Halloween time when you were a kid.
Of course.
I miss those times. Anyway, let's move on.
Okay.
Count Panic, it is summertime.
It is.
It is summertime. And me and you had the privilege of growing up on the shoreline of one of the Great Lakes of America.
Possibly the greatest.
You and I grew up on the shoreline of Lake Michigan.
Lake Michigan.
And I remember going out to Lake Michigan quite a bit as a kid. And I live literally 5 minutes away from Lake Michigan.
Isn't that amazing, Bob? Because people take
People take trips. They drive hours to get
people
to the lake.
Live in so many different areas, but we live next to a major lake, a great lake, and we don't talk about that enough. We take it for granted that we live next to this beautiful lake, and it's there at our convenience at any time, whether we just want to maybe go to the beach or whether we just want to go out and stare at that lake. It's there for us. So
it's there. That's actually one of my peaking spots.
Yes.
Now, I go out there and I meditate from time to time, or I'll just go out there and watch the waves crash because it's a beautiful sight at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I feel like we take advantage of it, right?
Yeah. We gotta take advantage of that.
But you know, I was on the TikTok thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a young person on TikTok who is of the Ojibwe tribe, mm-hmm. a Native American tribe. American, Canada, they're more Arctic based, right? Not Arctic, but more, they're more in the colder sections, right? And they're more northern based. Minnesota, Dakotas, Minnesota, and even into Canada, right?
Yeah.
So this person was talking a little bit about the Ojibwe, like, mythos and their pantheon of creatures that live in the lake. And I was fascinated. A lot of these TikTok videos you get from the tribes are very fascinating, because some of these, some of their, I don't want to call them boogeymen, but their big bats are absolutely horrifying from time to time. And some of these things are absolutely more scary than any of our cryptids we could ever come mm-hmm. up with. So I started watching a little bit of it, and they present it in a very interesting way when they're doing their stuff, because they're saying, oh, be careful when you're swimming in the lake, and because you don't know what lurks down there. And then they were showing like the tribal art of a couple of these creatures, and I was like, well, that's very fascinating. And the Queen of the Night's like, hey, this week on the show you should talk a little bit about some water spirits. And I'm like, water spirits of the Great Lakes, absolutely. So thank you so much TikToker, and I'm gonna post their username up in the show notes and below, so you can go check them out, because they are absolutely brilliant when it comes to telling these stories. So I have two native creatures from the Ojibwe lore that hang out, and it's not just Ojibwe, but that's the person from that tribe tells that story. So this is a common creature, not exactly the same, but that are all across that like region, mm-hmm. right? That they have very similar stories. And then we're going to talk a little bit about our very own Bermuda Triangle on Lake Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
And finishing out with something that a lot of people seem to request and I never talk about, and that's ghost ships.
Ghost ships.
Ghost boats.
Yes.
Not to be confused with the Wisconsin Dells novelty boat ride ghost boat. Like legitimate ghost ships.
Wait a second. I've been to Wisconsin Dells many times. There's a ghost boat they have now?
Yeah, they have a ghost boat.
When did that start up?
It's like the late night thing they do on their like normal boat tour.
Really?
You can go to the ghost. I've never ridden on the ghost boat. I've wanted to ride the ghost boat, but I've never had the opportunity. But I do know it's like they take you out in the like the Dells.
Really?
On like this really like cold night.
Yeah.
And then you're like walk through like the Dells areas and actors jump out at you. It's more haunted house.
Okay. All right. So sometimes, you know, there's a lot of history with those Dells, so I figure maybe they tell you some stuff, but sounds like a good time regardless. But yes, Lake Michigan and all the other Great Lakes. I can't wait to hear about this stuff. So Bob, take it away. Ghosts. In the lakes.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about my first one we want to talk about, and that is the Mishapishu.
Mishapishu.
The Mishu.
Okay.
Pishu. And that word would translate into something very similar to the fabulous night panther, or the great the underground wildcat, the great underwater cat, or even just the underwater panther, or the great lynx.
Mm.
Are some of the different terms that you can refer to this one. I will refer to it so I'm not misenunciating the word a bunch. I'm just going to refer to it as the underwater panther. So the underwater panther is one of several most important water beings among the Great Lakes and Northeastern Woods Native American tribes, particularly among the people of the Ojibwe tribe. As I was saying, it does translate into Great Lynx or the other ones, and it has the head and paws of a giant cat, but is covered in scales and has a dagger-like spines running along its back and tail. Where this underwater panther would hang out at, or where its home is mostly based in Lake Superior. and it's a powerful creature from the traditions of some of the Native American tribes. Different ones other than the Ojibwe are the Odawa or the Potawatomi. And this story is passed on through the United States and Canada. To the Algonquins, the underwater panther was the most powerful underworld being. The Ojibwe traditionally held them to be masters of water creatures, including snakes. And some of these communities just refer to them as the waterlings. Some archaeologists believe that the underwater panthers were major components of the southeastern ceremonial complex of the Mississippian culture in its prehistoric American Southeast. In the Native American mythologies of the Great Lakes, underwater panthers are described as water monsters that live in opposition to the thunderbirds. We talked a little bit about the thunderbirds before. Giant birds in the sky are said to create storms and masters of the powers of the air. Underwater panthers are seen as opposing yet complementary force, and they are engaged in an eternal conflict. The underwater panther was a combination features of many animals. And we were saying a little bit before, the body of a wild feline, often a mountain lion or lynx, the horns of a deer or bison, and upright scales on its back. Occasionally, they're depicted with bird feathers and parts of other animals as well, depending on the particular lore. Underwater panthers are represented with extraordinary long tails, occasionally with serpentine properties, meaning, you know, almost split. The creatures are thought to roar or hiss in the sounds of storms or rushing rapids. They were said to live in the deepest parts of the lakes and rivers, where they create and cause storms. Some traditions believe that the underwater panthers can be helpful, protective creatures, more often are viewed as a malevolent beast that brought death and misfortune. They often need to be gifted in order to get safe passage across the lake. As late as the 1950s, a prairie board of Potawatomi natives performed a traditional ceremony to gift the underwater panther in order to maintain balance with the thunderbird. The history of the underwater panther is merely a legend, but for some relatives of the Algonquin natives, it is as real as the waters and precious as metal it guarded. You see, it's said that the underwater panther was a big protector of the sacred copper.
Okay.
Copper was a big thing that people were able to find naturally in the waters of the Lake Superior. And to the native folk, they believe that the underwater panther mostly would only be disturbed if you were going after the copper. It's also a story that some of the elders in the tribe would tell to the younger kids to make sure that you're not swimming out past, you know, a certain time of night. Make sure you stay away from the copper deposits. And of course, as always, sometimes when we're telling these tales, it's mostly meant to keep kids safe sometimes. Yes. And they didn't want them swimming out, you know, too deep with underdrag or undertow. And they really, it's an interesting story of how people then were able to see this copper, and they believed that this underwater cat was there to kind of guard it and then cause these storms and these waves. And it's a very fascinating and a very native and very powerful entity. There seems to be substantial evidence, and there were very ancient unknown people that mined the copper and moved the majority to an undisclosed location. Later, during the 17th century, the Jesuit missionaries arrived at the Great Lakes region. And by that time, swinging copper from the region was extremely taboo and forbidden by the Ojibwe tribe. It was even worse to take from the Great Lakes home, the island of the panther. This was considered to be stealing from the underwater panther itself. There are a few stories that might be true believers of the great beast. A Jesuit missionary named Claude Dablon told a story about four Ojibwe natives who embarked on a journey to the homeland of the underwater panther to take some copper back to their home and use it to heat water. The second they pushed off on the back into the water with their canoe, an eerie voice of the water panther surrounded them, and the water panther came growling after them, vigorously accusing them of stealing and trying to get the copper back, and all four of the natives died on the way back to their village, the last one surviving just long enough to tell the tale of what happened in his final moments before he finally died. During the 1840s, there was a copper rush, and people there had realized the value of copper, which was being taken around for the Isle Royale. there were great suffering and accidents that many key people and vessels fell victim to. The streamer Cumberland was lost at the Rock of Ages Reef on the Isle Royal, and another ship by the name of the Algoma was sunk during a storm in 1885, and 45 people were sunk to the watery depth of the creature's lair. Mm. And the underwater panther is represented in pictographs. Traditional twined quilted men's bags would often feature the underwater panther on one panel and the thunderbird on the other, as if a yin and yang balanced symbol. If the thunderbird is in the sky, the underwater panther is in the water, and the two would be eternally conflicted and complemented one another at the same time. So, Panic, what did you think of the underwater panther story?
The underwater panther, Bob. Well, here's the thing with the underwater panther. Again, it's a thing, of course, you protect the copper, but still terrifying at the same time. Panthers are scary enough, they're crazy enough, but then when you add in the fact that they're underwater, it just makes for some bad news, Bob. But again, one of those stories you would think maybe they helped protect the copper in a way. I mean, and I'm not confirming if they're real or not, but maybe it's just a story to help protect that copper. That could be it too, right? That's people make tales to help protect what they need and what they have.
Yes. Yeah. And I just want to give a quick shout out to the Ojibwe community that typed all this up on some of their forums that I was reading about. So thank you so much to the tribes people that still tell these stories person to person. And that's important. We talk a little bit on Bob After Dark about history and how we need it be able to still orally be translated between people to people in order to keep this history and stories alive.
Yeah. If you don't know your history, Bob, you could be doomed to repeat it.
Absolutely.
That's what they say.
Yes. All right. Let's move on to the lake serpent or the great horned serpent or the Misikinebeak. Misikinebeak.
Mm.
This is a water monster. This monster, in the form of a snake of many colors, was said to be a great nemesis in the water. As some say that this might actually turn out to be the, what people say when we have like our own versions of the Loch Ness Monster, Nessie, and the Great Lakes. Some people attribute
it. Nessie, yes.
Because there are stories, and I'm not going to dive too much into it tonight just due to timing, but there are stories of people believing they've seen something close to Nessie in our Great Lakes. Well, some say that's derived from the Great Horned Serpent stories. And this Great Horned Serpent, there are a lot of derivatives of it. So it's not as cut and paste as the underwater panther. This one's got a lot of different stories to a lot of different tribes. But a lot of the different tribes believed in this great horned serpent that was known to be able to screech and cause waves and cause chaos amongst the waters. And whereas the panther would guard this copper, this great horned serpent was very much more aggravated. This thing would attack humans just based on guard itself, and it's a snake of many colors.
So the serpent wasn't really guarding anything. The panther had its purpose.
The panther had it was protecting something.
But the serpent just wanted to cause havoc on people, you're telling me.
Yes, and this was definitely a case of like the big bad as well, because that's definitely like in the big bad. The underwater panther was, you know, known to be a protector of sorts as well.
Yeah.
There's no real good stories about the horned serpents that lived in the water that were causing chaos.
Nope.
Nope.
But what, not Nessie. Nobody could be Nessie.
Not Nessie. Yeah.
No. Terrifying, though. So these serpents basically just, like I said, they had no purpose whatsoever.
Yes.
All right.
What's your take on the two bits of creatures we talked about tonight?
Well, like I said, Bob, the panthers I could see. Panthers are terrifying, but again, they have their own purpose. The serpents, which again, I love Nessie. Nessie is one of my favorite cryptids of all time. But these other serpents seem to be just knockoffs of them, and I don't appreciate that. You know, Nessie doesn't need any copycats out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are two native stories about two of the creatures that say to reside in the Great Lakes of native culture.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. You ready to talk about the Bermuda Triangle of Lake Michigan?
Bob, I was hoping we could, I like Lake Michigan. I don't need to hear anything creepy about Lake Michigan. We're close to Lake Michigan. I don't think we should help the folks about Lake Michigan.
For what it's worth, it's nowhere near us.
Oh. Well, yeah, Lake Michigan is a pretty great lake, a big lake, but it's not close to us then.
So if I was to, so I'm looking at the triangle here. We'll talk a little bit about it. And this one comes from the Greater Detroit website. They're talking about this, and it's the Bermuda Triangle of the Great Lakes, or is what we now refer to it as the Lake Michigan Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And you may have heard of the Bermuda Triangle, but one of the Great Lakes has its own mysterious one.
Yeah.
The Lake Michigan Triangle, sometimes referred to as the Michigan Triangle, spans from Manitowoc, which I know how to pronounce, by the way. Thank you, Wisconsin. Manitowoc,
pretty
Wisconsin,
good.
To Ludington, Michigan, and to the south to Benson Harbor.
All right.
So it's one of those right triangles.
Okay, so it's a little away from us there.
Yes.
Okay, I like that. I like that.
The triangle is accounted for numerous mysterious events, beginning in 1891 when a schooner named the Thomas Hume set off across Lake Michigan for lumber. The Hume disappeared along with its crew and several sailors, and not even a trace of the boat was ever found. And strange events continued occurring, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the cases. The Rosa Bell Ship Mystery. In 1921, 11 people inside the Rosa Bell Ship disappeared, and their ship was found overturned in Lake Michigan. The ship had been damaged in the collision, but no other ship had reported accident, and there was no wreck ever to be found. So no, like, rock to determine why the ship was destroyed, but it was just gone.
Gone, just like that.
Yeah. Or the disappearance of Captain Donner. The bizarre case of Captain George R. Donner is one of the most mysterious triangle cases. On April 28, 1937, Captain Donner vanished from his cabin after guarding his ship through icy waters. The captain went to his cabin to rest, and about 3 hours later, a crewman went to alarm him that they were nearing the port. The door was locked from the inside. The mate didn't hear, got panicked, broke into the captain, only to find that it was empty. A search turned up no clues, and Donner's disappearance remains unsolved.
Okay, I'm following.
So from ships to the even flights, the disappearance of Northwest Flight 2501. One of the most mysterious cases over Lake Michigan happened in 1950 when Northwest Airlines Flight 2501, which was carrying 58 people, crashed in Lake Michigan. The plane was never found. And at the time, it was the deadliest commercial airliner accident in American history. The pilot had just requested to descend to 2,500 because of severe electrical storm, which was lashing the lake with high velocity winds, when the plane just disappeared from radar. To this day, the plane wreckage has never been found, and the cause of the crash remains unknown. About 2 hours after last communication with Flight 2501, two police officers reported seeing a strange red light hovering over Lake Michigan and disappearing after 10 minutes, leading some to believe that a UFO may have been to blame.
Really?
There's also the North America Stonehenge found in Lake Michigan. A popular theory blames the triangle mystery on an ancient underwater rock formation discovered in 2007. The 40-foot ring of rocks resting underneath Lake Michigan has a very similar alignment to that of Stonehenge. According to DBLOG, in 2007, Mark Holly, a professor of underwater archaeology of Northwestern Michigan College, discovered a series of stones arranged in a circle 40 feet below the surface of Lake Michigan. One stone outside the circle seemed to have carvings that resemble a mastodon, an elephant-like animal that went extinct 10,000 years ago. And when you see it in the water, you're tempted to say, well, this is absolutely real, Holly told reporters at the time. That's where we need the experts to come in and verify. Many have reported other strange occurrences in the Triangle area, including UFO sightings, as we talked a little bit about the disappearance of the flight. Some have even claimed that the Triangle was a time portal that could bend time and causing a metaphysical force with a supernatural vortex of energy. And some blame the disappearances on extreme weather often found in Lake Michigan, including strong squalls and high winds. And thank you, Ken Haddad, for writing this article for Click Detroit.
Well, here's the thing about... Oh, continue.
No, you're up.
Okay. I'm making sure I don't want to speak out of turn here. Well, that's always fascinating. Because, okay, it's one thing when something in the sea or in the lake or in the ocean, it goes missing because it's maybe sailing. It's a boat of some capacity there. But when things are flying over, they just disappear. That's even more freaky. And the worst part is, Bob, they can't find any of the wreckage. It just kind of disappears. And the Bermuda Triangle, of course, a very famous example of all this.
Well, now we have our own right north of us.
So, do they got to warn people about this, right? So people don't sail over this or fly over this?
I'm assuming it's not something that happens all the time.
But why take a chance, Bob?
Count bank, you know what that sounds like to me.
Oh, no. Bob, what are you thinking?
We need to get some sort of boat.
Oh, Bob, no. I'm not going to risk it.
No. Hear me out. We're going to get some sort of boat.
Yeah.
A ghost boat.
A ghost boat.
A ghost boat, if you will. We're going to go to, sail that triangle.
Have you ever sailed anything, Bob?
I've been on a boat a couple times.
But were you the captain?
I've driven a boat before, yes.
So you think it could steer
us? I drove a pontoon boat, keep in mind.
Oh, okay.
Which is much like driving a car.
Of course, only it's on water. That makes sense. So you think you could be the captain and drive us to safety from this mysterious triangle in Lake Michigan? You think you could do that? You think you could make a safe trip out of it? You're telling me you're 100% with that.
What you're telling me is you're doubting my abilities, Count Panic.
I'm not doubting your abilities, Bob. I just never seen you captain a ship before. Maybe once I see that.
Now, listen, if you gave me an actual ship with like a wheel, I'm probably going to be a little confused. I'll figure it out.
You need a giant wheel. One of those big wooden ones that you just steer like this. That'd be kind of fun.
Will you be first mate, Count Panic?
It'd be like the Gilligan and the Skipper.
No, the question is, my friend, which one of us is Skipper?
Well, I guess you're the Skipper, I guess. And, I'll be Gilligan there.
Oh, my God.
We'll go on a three-hour tour and hope we can make it back.
I think it takes a little bit longer than 3 hours on boat to get through this triangle. Manitowoc is a hike from here. It's probably several hours north by car. I don't know. I don't know maritime traveling time distances.
Yeah.
But me and you were gonna get a boat and we're gonna go drive through the Lake Michigan Triangle.
We better have some standbys waiting for us just in case. But they can. Here's the thing.
Our job is to report on the truth, Count Panic, and it just so happens that our reporting is on the paranormal, supernatural, and unexplained.
Here's the thing, though, Bob. If we go missing, they won't be able to find the boat or the remains or
anything.
We'll
leave a bread trail of cheese curds behind and like little buoys that are float along the way where we were.
So we should sell raffle tickets for this trip. We'll make a big party out of it.
I'm glad. You know what? You just keep tacking on the idea. So we're going to fund a Bob After Dark ghost boat. By the way, it's a total thing, ghost boat. It's an actual boat ride you can take in Wisconsin.
Hashtag ghost boat.
And they're going to somehow get all these, all of this business now. They're going to be like, wow, all these people are buying tickets to the ghost boat.
Yeah.
They're like, why? And it's like, some idiots on a radio station were talking about the ghost boat.
I don't know. It might be worth the check out, Bob, but I don't know. Mysterious, but I don't like being in the water to begin with, Bob, and then put me in a haunted waters. It's
haunted
even worse.
Waters.
Yeah.
Now, Count Panic, let's wrap up our discussion on the lakes and some of the water spirits. And by the way, folks, there are a lot of these stories. I just summed them up into a few of the ones, because we haven't talked about a cryptid, a concrete monster thing lately, and I just wanted to bring up, you know, the stories of the horned serpent and the underwater panther. Hmm. Talk a little bit about that, and then, you know, we had to have talk about this triangle, and now we're going to be finishing up talking about ghost ships.
Okay.
And this is a popular one, not to be confused with ghost boat, but actual ghost ships.
Ghost ships, different than a ghost boat.
Yes, and I want to give a quick shout out to Fishing Tackler Retail for writing this article. If you would have told me, I would have found my research from a tackle website, like a tackle blog and a fishing blog.
Yeah.
I'd have been probably a little confused. But I found my research thanks to these fine folk that wrote this article, specifically Joe Sills.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about the Great Lakes in general. So it is estimated that 6,000 shipwrecks have occurred on the Great Lakes since the record keeping began in the area. And this is outside of just the realm of the triangle. This is Great Lakes spread, you know, all of them around. And the death toll of these wrecks totals something like 30,000 souls. At least this was back in 2004. So it might be even more than that now. It seems reasonable then that if the waterways were haunted, and if you believe in such things, which we totally do, the Five Lakes would probably be prime candidates for a good haunting. And indeed, out of those 6,000 wrecks, a handful of these are still reported by modern-day people that are on the water.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about some of these. The Western Reserve, a 19th-century schooner, has been reportedly spotted on the water near Deer Park, Michigan. The boat went down in the spring of 1892, the property of well-known financier Peter Minch. The boat took her wealthy captain to the grave, and it's rumored that before the wreck, an old mariner for the Great Lakes Life-Saving Service dreamt of the ship's demise, and he later identified Minch's body when he washed ashore. Only the ship's wheelmen survived. Hmm. On Lake Huron, rumors persist of an 1800 schooner set still sailing around in North Flint, Michigan in Saginaw Bay, the Erie Board of Trade. But the Erie Board of Trade's fate was doomed not by a storm, but by a supposed ghost of a former crewman. As the story goes, the ship captain knowingly sent his crewman onto the mast for a watch in the boatswain's chair. The chair was known by the crew to be unsafe, and the crewman soon plummeted to his death. Shortly after, the crew reported seeing their former comrade on deck, and one fateful day, after describing the tale of his demise in port, the Erie Board of Trade sailed onto Lake Huron, never to be seen again. The streamer, the Bannockburn, disappeared November 21st, 1902, with 21 men, and a full of wheat on board. The actual case of the loss of the boat is unknown, though initial reports suggested that it was stranded on a Caribou island whose lighthouse was turned off just 6 days before the voyage. Only a life preserver and an oar were ever recovered from the Bannockburn, and its great reputation as the Flying Dutchman of Lake Superior, after decades of sailors said to have seen reports of the boat between Port Arthur, Michigan, and the Sioux Lakes locks between Superior and Huron. Most famously, the Edmund Fitzgerald was allegedly spotted sailing through Lake Superior one foggy night nearly 10 years after 75 iron ore firefighter was or freighter, sorry, 75 ore freighter was taken down by rogue waves in 1975, and the Fitzgerald and the crew still rest 500 feet below the Lake Superior.
I heard that's a famous tale, the Edmund Fitzgerald, of course.
Did you say that, or do you actually know it's a famous tale?
No, but I'll be honest, I know about it because of the Gordon Lightfoot song, which I will play later on after the show is actually done.
I thought you were going over there saying we had a caller.
No, I was pulling up some music for after the show. But, of course, yes, the Edmund Fitzgerald, a famous story throughout history. I have heard about that one, Bob. A sad tale when you really think about it, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, thank you so much to the Fishing Tackler Retailer website for posting some of these stories. I would have never guessed in a million years I would have gotten some research from a fishing website. Kyle Panic, can you mute me for a second so I can sneeze and you can talk?
You muted
yourself. Good job. Never mind. I guess my sneeze wasn't coming.
There.
That was
from there. You want me to mute? Yeah,
no,
I can mute you from there.
The sneeze is coming now.
I muted myself.
Kyle Panic, can you mute me so I can sneeze? Yeah, I'll just mute you.
Too bad I don't have your controls right next to me here, but
it's okay. Yeah. No worries. The sneeze went away. Feel weird. In all of my years of doing Bob After Dark, I've sneezed on air once and it was very awkward. And I'm like, can you mute me? Is there like a signal in radio where I'm like, mute me, I'm about to sneeze?
We have a mute button somewhere down.
No, I know, but is there a signal, like a professional signal, like for that I never learned?
Not that I learned. All right,
fair enough.
But don't worry, far worse things have been done on these airwaves than somebody sneezing. So I think you're in good company here if you did that. So. No shame in that, Bob. No shame in that at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Count Panic, what do you think about the ghostly vessels, creatures, and triangle that supposedly lurk in our Great Lakes?
Terrifying, Bob. Again, you just go out there right now. And, Bob, I don't know where you're heading to after this.
Home.
Yes.
The bed.
But you're near Lake Michigan there.
I'll be right by the shore.
I advise you when you go home tonight, just look out there deep into the lake.
I think they closed the park down at a certain
time. Bob, you could still see, though, far out into the Lake Michigan right there. It's dark. It's spooky looking. Somewhere out there, there's a boat going missing right now, and nobody could explain it. And there might be serpents out there, too. Might be a sea panther. Might be Nessie herself.
Underwater panther.
Underwater panther. Sea panther.
Underwater Panther.
Sea Panther has like a superhero type of
something like that
ring to it. But Bob, yes, very mysterious lakes indeed, but still great lakes at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Folks, thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. I apologize for my misenunciations at the end. I was holding back a sneeze for a while and it just never came out, so I apologize. Thank you guys so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. To my mom and dad, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are: not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.